theme for the evening is all about the kingdom, and we're going to turn to hymn 443. Hymn 443.
Thank you.
slide, just a page to the left. This reminds me of the storm that we had just a little bit ago. We were out moving furniture and things and making sure that they didn't blow away. And we had to move because it was getting really dark and the wind was coming up. So as you sing this, think about the urgency of the hour.
Sometime during the night, a a gas line underneath of our house ruptured and started spewing natural gas underneath of our house. About 5 o'clock in the morning, evidently the hot water tank set it off. And the house was literally decimated. There was nothing left of it. The roof went up in the air, I don't know how far. All four walls flew out the side. My front door was across the street, leaning up against the house next door. The south wall of my house took out a chain link fence and hit a doghouse hard enough that it hit the house that was next to with such force that it cracked the basement. And the east wall of our house, which was one of our bedroom walls, ended up about 30 feet in our backyard. Well, our bedrooms that we were sleeping in were in the back of the house. And I have very little recollection of anything that happened while I was sleeping, obviously, except for at some point I realized that I was fighting for air. And I don't know if anybody has ever experienced being underwater too long and running out of oxygen and you're frantic to breathe. I lost a brother in 1949, I believe, before I was born, to burn to death. And what happened, he threw gasoline on a fire and it flew back in his face and he inhaled the flames and he ended up dying because of the damage to his lungs from the flames. So I don't know whether something kept me from breathing. I was facing the direction that the flames came from. And I know I was flailing my arms. I remember dreaming this, I guess, but Virginia had a bruise on her arm the next day to prove that I was trying to fight for air. Luckily, she was in between me and the outside wall, so most of the flames hit me. And we all landed outside in the backyard on our feet, standing up. It rained half the night. There was an inch of water in the backyard that hadn't gone away yet. So we were all standing in water, and none of us got muddy or wet anywhere except for on the bottom of our feet. And Virginia was pretty frantic. She was screaming for Manny, who was in his bedroom, and he was 10 feet out the back door, part of the back wall also, standing next to the foundation. And so we all grouped up together, and I went next door to the neighbor's house and asked to use the phone. It's kind of embarrassing when you're all in underwear and there's nothing left, you know, your clothes are all gone. But believe me, the embarrassment, you don't really notice it for a while. It's got too many other things on your mind. But anyway, I called my brother, who lives about a mile away, and said, would you call Mom and my sister and let them know what happened? We're all right. Nobody's injured dramatically. And come to find out, my sister Betty was listening to a radio program and heard that a house in Buckner had exploded. And she was sitting there, oh, please don't let it be here in Virginia's house. Do it again. And the phone rang right about that moment. And my brother told her that no one was injured. Don't worry about anything, but we're going to go to the hospital. And I had my brother take me to the hospital. I had some burns on my face, the top of my head, my arm, my leg, but it was serious that I was in serious.
Wait a minute.
Virginia was doing pretty good. She had singed hair on the back of her head, was basically all. And Manny had a bump on his head and a bruise somewhere on his stomach. And they wanted to take him to Children's Mercy, so they hauled him to the hospital in an ambulance and babied him for 24 hours to make sure that there wasn't anything wrong with him. But kind of a neat thing that happened while at the hospital, Virginia was staying with Manny, and I went over afterwards and went to the hospital also, but she was pretty concerned with what he might have nightmares or something along this nature. He was, I believe, 8 years old at the time. And so she sat by his bedside all night long. And when he woke up the next morning, she asked him, did you have any dreams of any kind? He said, yeah. I said, what did you dream about? He says, well, the house blowing up. And really, said, yeah, there were angels there. One took you out, one took me out, and one took Gary out.
Yeah, we're just hoping.
And not the only explanation you can have for something like that. When you, three people survive a total destructive explosion, and you land on your feet, and no one's injured. But it's been about 8 or 9 years since that happened, and I'm sure that I may have gotten something mixed up, or I may have forgotten something, but it's one of those things that you kind of like to forget, but you really don't want to. But the hand of the Lord, if he wants to save someone from something, will do it. He can pluck you out of the driver's seat of a car, or move a tree out of your way if he wants to. And the only thing I can think of that saved me was I was sleeping with a saint. So if it hadn't been for her, I probably wouldn't have made it through the fire. But we're living proof that God does touch the lives of people. And we never know why he'll touch the life of one person. And you not even know why something was going to happen. You didn't know it was in your future, but he saves you from something. When some people can pray and ask for blessings, and we don't know what the will of God is, what his plans are for us. But when something like that happens, it really touches your life. Thank you.
It's on record.
thank you for your ministry music this evening. Good evening, saints. It's a pleasure being with you tonight. One quick thing I was asked to share with you. This bulletin is a survey. If you received the bulletin, and you're probably asking where to put it. There is a box behind this row of pews right here. There's a cardboard box kind of back behind Steve Beard there that you're welcome to give your feedback on the summer series this summer. And we're interested in your feedback. So if you could fill that out and put it in the box, it would be much appreciated. For my call to worship this evening, I'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, and whom, through now ye see him, not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This time, let us turn in our hymnals to hymn number 479. Stand up for Jesus. And after which, priest Joseph McLean will give us an invocation.
Thank you. heaven. Lord, I thank you so much for this time that we have to gather here and learn about you and worship you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit might be here with us as we listen to the words of our brother. And I pray that we might take the words and apply them in our lives. And I pray again, Lord, that we might be filled with your Spirit this night. You might grant us the wisdom and the understanding for what we're going to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Many of us heard in our service these words. O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it. As we heard this, we would hear that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son and always remember him and keep his commandments which he has given them. For scripture reading, I'd like to read from the second book of Nephi, chapter 12, and verse 15. They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing. They persecute the meek and the poor in heart, because in their pride they are puffed up. There's another time in scripture when the Lord spoke of us robbing him. And people asked him, "Where have we robbed thee?" And he said, "In our tithes and our offerings." We've been given a commandment to give tithes and offerings. And I'm not trying to guilt trip you in tonight. But look inside your wallets as well as your hearts and take inventory and see if there's anything that you can give to the Lord this evening. Would you bow your heads? Our Father, who art the giver of all, we're truly grateful for the blessings and the bountiful blessings that we have. Those of us who live in this country have been given many things. So, Father, I've asked that as we give of what we choose this evening, that you would take this money and that you would bless it, that it may go for the furthering of your kingdom, and that Zion will be because of some of these things that we're given tonight. I pray that you would bless each heart here, that each one of us will be convicted, and we will be able to take inventory of our lives and dig deeper into our hearts and find more to give. And these things I would ask in Jesus' name. Thank you.
to introduce the brothers up here on the rostrum with me. So I will do that at this time. I'm Elder Paul Sinclair. I attend the Devon Park branch. On my left here is Priest Joseph McClingy. He also attends the Devon Park branch. He gave us the location. On my right is Elder Christopher Pedersen. He also attends the Devon Park branch. And behind me is High Priest Chuck Perry, who is giving us the spoken word this evening. At this time, I turn it over to him and ask that you give him your attention.
Good evening, saints. Trust and pray that your experiences so far this morning, this day, in particular, your activities this morning, have been fruitful in the things of the kingdom, as you've had fellowship with both the saints, but also with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our desire tonight is that we might continue in that same spirit as we seek His divine will, and seek what it is that He would have us do to prepare ourselves for that kingdom that is nigh at hand. I'd like to read for your hearing tonight a passage of Scripture. It's rather lengthy. It's from the fourth book of Nephi, the first chapter, the first through the 21st verses. And I'm going to just do a little bit of changing a couple of verses out of their order. If they sound familiar, if these verses sound familiar to you, it's because our good brother Dan Shearer stole them from me last week in his sermon. As he was preaching, I thought, well, there's half the things I'm going to talk about. But you know, all joking aside, time and time again, the Lord moves to lay the burden of the work of the Scripture upon not one, but two or three witnesses. And I trust that because this comes by more than one witness, you'll give heed to the words contained in the Scriptures. This is the account of the people of Nephi after the Lord had appeared to them and had moved in such a way that they become a changed people. I'd like you to listen to what these people did to respond to the voice of the Master. It came to pass that the 34th year passed away, and also the 35th, and behold, the disciples of Jesus had formed a church of Christ in all the lands round about. And as many as did come unto them and did truly repent of their sins were baptized in the name of Jesus. And they also did receive the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in the 36th year, the people were all converted to the Lord upon all the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites, and there were no contentions and disputations among them. And every man did deal justly one with another, and they had all things common among them. Therefore they were not rich and poor, bond and free, but they were all made free, and partakers of the heavenly gift. It came to pass that the 37th year passed away also, and there still continued to be peace in the land. And there were great and marvelous works wrought by the disciples of Jesus, insomuch that they did heal the sick, and raise the dead, and cause the lame to walk, and the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear. And all manner of miracles did they work among the children of men, and in nothing did they work miracles save it were in the name of Jesus. Thus did the 38th year pass away, and also the 39th, and the 41st, and the 42nd, yea, even until 49 years had passed away, and also the 51st, and the 52nd, yea, and even until 59 years had passed away. And the Lord did prosper them exceedingly in the land, yea, insomuch that they did build cities again where the cities had been burned. Yea, even that great city Zarahemla did they cause to be built again. But there were many cities which had been sunk, and waters came up in the stead thereof. Therefore these cities could not be renewed. And now behold, it came to pass that the people of Nephi did wax strong, and did multiply exceeding fast, and became an exceeding fair, delightsome people. And they were married and given in marriage, and were blessed according to the multitude of the promises which the Lord had made unto them. And they did not walk anymore after the performances and ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had received from their Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer, and meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass that there was no contention among all the people in all the land, but there were mighty miracles wrought among the disciples of Jesus. And it came to pass that the 71st year passed away, and also the 72nd year. Yea, and in fine, until the 79th year had passed away, yea, even 100 years had passed away. And the disciple of Jesus whom he had chosen had all gone to the paradise of God, save it were the three who should tarry. And there were other disciples ordained in their stead, and also many of that generation which had passed away. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there were no envyings, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lying, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. There were no robbers, nor murders, neither were there Lamanites, nor any manner of ites, but they were in one, the children of Christ, and heirs to the kingdom of God. And how blessed they were, for the Lord blessed them in all their doings. Yea, even they were blessed and prospered until 110 years had passed away, and the first generation from Christ had passed away, and there was no contention in all the land. And surely there could not have been a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God. May the Lord's Spirit rest upon us tonight as we look at these people and try to incorporate in our lives those things that they received from the hand of and from the mouth of Jesus. And because of these things, they became the happiest of all people.
I've touched the hair his face, and my heart is overflowing with the fullness of his joy. I know without a doubt that I've been
joy is found. And we would pray, Father, that this night our time spent together would please Thee, that we might be strengthened and that we might give honor and glory to Thy name. I would pray, Father, that Your Spirit would cover me and overcome my weakness. And I pray, Father, that You would bless this hour. And when we go from this place, we can truly say we have been in Your presence and You've been in this place. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If we could have the lights dim, they do have a few slides I'd like to show tonight to help perhaps show some of the scriptures and the points I'd like to talk about tonight. Our theme tonight is, what can I contribute to the kingdom that is coming? I have to confess to you that when I was given that theme, I thought, well, what am I going to say about that? Because I don't know what I can contribute. It's kind of a complex subject matter, I think, because we can look at it from a number of different ways. I think that we can become misguided in our thought processes about what we can contribute to the kingdom that is coming. But I'd like to talk tonight about maybe some things that we can do to contribute to the raising up and the building up of the kingdom. But I think there are three assumptions we need to talk about first. And by the way, the kingdom is coming sooner than we think. I don't know if you can see that back there. There are three assumptions that I want to talk about tonight before we talk about what we can do to contribute to the kingdom. The first one is that the kingdom of God truly is coming. Now, we've talked in this pulpit and our local branches from time to time, and the witness is being born with greater intensity, that the kingdom of God is coming. The second assumption is that if the kingdom of God is coming, we're going to be invited to be participants in that kingdom. We have to be assured that God wants us to be there, and he wants us to play a role in the building up and the sustaining of that kingdom. And the third assumption is that if we're invited to participate, that we can bring something, some type of offering, to contribute to the kingdom that is built by, and it's built for, and it's reigned over by God. That's an amazing challenge, isn't it? To think that we might have something that we can contribute to the kingdom of God that has been